Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, it's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation. I've never seen it rain like this in Arizona. Holy cow.
It's a goalie washer.
Booties. Booties.
Literally, look at the goalies right now. Just pouring down right now.
Yeah, they're overflowing. So can the crew replace this for spring training baseball tonight? This looks like a night off to me, although they do have
booties.
It's amazing what they have underneath the playing surface and how quick this drains. I was at the Rangers last year when people were walking through the concourse and water was up to people's knees in the concourse.
Wow.
Because I've never seen it like that. And literally, after it stopped raining an hour and a half later, they were playing on the field, and the outfield and everything didn't look that bad.
All right, it's going to start raining Cowboys content here for you, as joining us now, a former colleague of ours here at 105.3 The Fan. She left us for the big time of TV stardom. It's Jane Slater at the NFL Network with us on The Fan. And a good afternoon to you. How you doing?
What's up, guys? I'm sorry that it's raining on your vacation out there. Vacation slash work in Arizona.
Well, here's the thing, Jane, is that if it rains, they don't play the game, and we can go to Booties for trivia night. So we're kind of liking
Booties that you speak of.
Not like that, ma'am.
It's a sports bar.
It's a sports bar. It just happens
like
to be called.
Is what it's like. Okay.
No. It's different. It's just a regular bar. It just happens to be called Booties.
So, Jane, we've been promoting this. We've been timestamping it with the Tolos out there who want to know, you know, what you know about this Earl Thomas situation with so many of the other teams finding their safeties. You know, do you have any more insights for us as far as, you know, what the Cowboys might be willing to do to bring him in?
Well, I think it's fascinating because I sort of said it yesterday when I was told what the numbers were that he was working with, and it was more than Eric Berry, who was averaging about $13 million a year, and he got that contract when he was 28. I knew that they were going to be working somewhere above that, so I was told about $14 million. Then when we saw Landon Collins come off the board, and then we saw Kenny Vaccaro, I started going at 30 years old and with his injuries, and look, I know that Earl Thomas can be a game changer for this defense, and that's why the fans have talked about him. That's why we've continued talking about this since December 2017, when right in front of me, he's going up to head coach Jason Garrett saying, come and get me if you get the chance. There's a reason we've talked about it, but he's also, when I talk to some of his teammates in Seattle, he's a different guy. I mean, he's a different bird, I guess, is the way to get. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad. He's just different. And so I think that there is that issue of difference. There's 30. There's the leg injury that the Cowboys are saying to themselves, you know what? You guys killed us for years for overpaying players. We're going to sit here. And I believe, because I've been checking around to see I was not kidding yesterday when I said, if I had a dollar for every whisper or rumor as it pertains to Earl Thomas, I'd be retired on an island. I was sitting there just having brunch this weekend, and I was sent a picture of Earl Thomas telling someone at a softball game that he was close to deal with the Cowboys. Well, that was not true. And so what I believe is there's all these rumors and there's whispers out there, but it's feeling pretty quiet right now. And I would not be surprised if his number starts to fall a little bit and he gets closer to that. The Cowboys, I'm being told, are 8 to 10 is what they want to work with. Let's say he wants 14. What if we're somewhere at 11-5? Then I think we might start hearing more developed. I think the Cowboys might talk to him then, but not at 14, not at 13.
I wonder, this is something I don't know if anybody knows this, but what do we know about Earl Thomas in terms of, I'm going to use the word ego, which sounds like a negative word, but I don't mean it to. But if you're Earl Thomas and you watched guys who you're a better player than get $14 million a year, how hard is it to settle? I mean, if the market doesn't exist, it doesn't exist. But how hard is it to say, okay, I have to get less than guys that I'm better than them?
Look, I think it is hard to settle. And he is arguably the best safety that's a free agent. I mean, he's better. I would say he's better than Landon Collins. I think he's better than Kenny Vaccaro. He's better than the guy they just got down in Houston. But I do think there's these other things. Like I said, the 30, and I know that they've constantly been in contact with Seattle. I've talked to people in Seattle over the last year and a half, and I'm not saying that he's not a guy that you still don't want on your roster, but I'm saying if he really wants to play for Dallas, that's your dream team, you might need to come off that $14 million number or that ego-driven number that I want to beat Eric Berry and what he got at Kansas City at 28. If you're more realistic and you say, you know, I want to play for 11 and a half, that's still a pretty good number for a safety and playing for your dream team and what many would consider, you know, to have grown up a fan to play for the team you've always wanted to be a part of. I think that this would be sort of a nice compromise, if you will. But, look, I could be wrong. There could 100% be a team out there that's still interested in and wants to pay him that $14 million and that contract he's looking for. But I'm telling you right now, as I've made calls and I've tried to keep my, you know, keep a pulse on this, it doesn't feel like the frenzy is as there as it was when free agency started.
It's Jane Slater with us. So, Jane, you aren't hearing that other teams are coming in on him, are you? Or he hasn't been turning down any offers?
Not right now.
No buzz. Okay.
I heard Houston was in play at one point. I ran down the rumor of Cleveland being interested earlier today. So, yeah, I mean, once those came off the board, it's like, all right, well, I've made calls to Arizona. They don't need one. So San Francisco, no, they haven't even had a conversation with them yet. So unless this dark horse emerges, it's a little quiet out there. That's all I'm saying. Now, like I said, my luck, in 10 minutes, we'll get Ian Rappaport and Mike Garafolo at my network reporting that he signed some $15 million deal somewhere else. But the phone calls that I've made, every rumor and every whisper, I've done my due diligence, feeling pretty quiet out there, and he's had this feeling that he might, his numbers might fall, and the Cowboys might end up with their man after all. But we'll see.
Well, that would be very exciting. And Jane, by the way, you are absolutely killing it. We thank you for your insights and your time here on a very busy Tuesday in the NFL. What if he wants to be the top paid guy and is willing to do it for 1 year? 1 year at $14.5 million? Would the Cowboys have interest there?
You know, possibly. I just know what they don't want to do is pay him. You know, at first we were hearing, you know, 15 for 2 years. They were not. And, you know, again, it's so funny. Cowboys fans are killing the Cowboys for not doing a deal like that, but they've killed them in the past for doing deals just like that. So I think there's nothing wrong with some of the due diligence that they're doing. I think they've probably followed up on some of the rumors and whispers that I've heard, and they're sort of keeping their, you know, they've got a pulse on this as well. They also argue, and I'm not as convinced with this, but the Cowboys side will also argue, well, hey, we've got Xavier Woods. We like his development. He's young. We're not paying him a ton right now. We like what we're getting from him, and we still have the draft, and there's still free agency for these second-tier type players. I just think Cowboys fans need to be patient. I just have a feeling that this thing may work out for the Cowboys after all, but we'll see.
With Cole Beasley going to Buffalo, were the Cowboys ever seriously interested in keeping him? I'm sure they liked him, but it just never seemed like their numbers were going to be anywhere close to what Buffalo was giving him.
Well, here's the deal. I think I know for a fact that head coach Jason Garrett went up to Beasley last week and personally appealed to him and said, you're a Dallas guy, we want you here. But, I mean, I'm not spilling any secrets here. All you have to do is follow Cole Beasley on Twitter. What I loved about him, he put his name on it. He has been frustrated with the way he's been utilized in this offense, and it was Dez Bryant who 2 years ago essentially said he fell on the sword for a lot of these guys and vocalized the collective frustration of the room about the way the receivers were being utilized. Now, I think the Cowboys got to a situation where they said, we love Cole. We love what he brings to this offense. We love that he's uniquely Dallas, but is he worth $6.5, $7, $8 million a year, and especially when the number got thrown out, $20 million guaranteed, I think that that was a number that was hard for them to stomach. And keep in mind, they are still trying to find ways to get that long-term deal done with DeMarcus Lawrence, to get Ezekiel Elliott his new deal, and then also paying Dak Prescott. And so I think that they made him an offer, but when I found out what the Bills offered him, I mean, that was a huge contract, I think, for Cole. I mean, Cole would have been crazy if he had turned that down. You know, he's turning 30 in April. He's essentially getting the bulk of his money in the first 2 years. It ends up being about $29 million. The Cowboys' final deal, I'm told, was closer to 3 years, $18 million. So they were about $10 million off from the Bills. And sort of an interesting side note, as that news was being announced, another team came into play and wanted to talk to Cole about coming to them. But when they found out what the Bills were willing to pay them, their number was a lot more in line with what the Cowboys were. So this was sort of more of a situation of supply and demand. And the Bills simply, they needed a receiver like Cole Beasley, and they overpaid here. And Cole took advantage of that in his final veteran contract. So you can't hate on him for that, but you also can't hate on the Cowboys for not overpaying a player that other teams probably weren't going to pay him that number either.
Jane, you mentioned DeMarcus Lawrence, and this one doesn't look like it's playing out great for either side. What's kind of your information that you have on when or if this thing could get done?
I think that one is the more head-scratching one. I mean, I can sort of make sense of why they haven't moved on Oral and why they wouldn't pay Cole an inflated number, but DeMarcus Lawrence, for me, is the type of guy that played through the injury the year before his first tag. They tag him. And instead of being frustrated and vocalizing and holding out, you know, he said to me that night, you know what, that's fine. I'm ready to play on this, and I'm going to break the bank the next year. And we saw him play lights out last year. And he wasn't only good on the field, but I thought it was the way he stepped up off the field. You know, talk with Charlton might have come up with hot boys, but it was DeMarcus Lawrence that gave them that swag, that identity. My favorite story that I've heard recently was Jesse Hawley talking about John Kitna, of all people, who set the tone of alley dogs for that offense, and how Jesse just told me that that was his approach every day on the football field because he had this moniker. He was an alley dog, and I feel like just the hot boys moniker. I mean, you saw Sean Lee himself wanted to be a hot boy. You know, I don't think that you can put a price tag on what a guy's leadership and that sort of energy he brings to the locker room and doing things the right way, where I feel like time and time again, you really try to rehabilitate guys like the Rolando McClains of the world, the Randy Gregory's, the, you know, David Irvings. And while you and I can have a completely separate conversation about the merits of Randy Gregory, I feel like for a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence, you're sitting there going, I've done everything you've asked me. I've had more sacks in the last two seasons than Von Miller and Khalil Mack, and you're not willing to give me the deal that I was essentially promised last year. I think that's where the thing's going to get a little bit tricky.
Jane, did the NFL Network send you to New Orleans because they know Dallas isn't going to do doodly squat the next few days?
Oh, Mike.
Yes. I mean, I had essentially been sitting in front of the facility. I was there on Thursday. I was there all day yesterday. And yes, it was cold for everyone that was giving me grief. It was 50 degrees, and we are actually not allowed in the building when it's the off season. So it was, for those of you in the DFW area, you know it was cold. So I was actually really excited to change locations, and I'm allowed in the building here in New Orleans.
Is a Dez reunion at all possible? What are they saying?
In New Orleans? That?
No. Well, yeah,
no,
New Orleans,
no,
or
no.
Well, you know,
what about here?
They still want him back in New Orleans. So it's my understanding that Dez, I talked to somebody close to him last week at the Combine, and they told me that he was actually due for a doctor's checkup. So I'm glad that you guys jogged my memory on that. We'll have to see where he's at. But the Saints have absolutely expressed an interest in bringing Dez back.
All right. Appreciate you as always. Thanks for coming on, and best of luck to you again. You're doing an awesome job, and we're so happy for you and proud of all the great things you're doing there for the NFL Network. Jane, have a good one.
Jane.
I appreciate your support. Love you guys. Yes.
Po-boys or oysters? What's your New Orleans go-to?
Definitely an oysters girl.
Yeah, that one was obvious.
Hand grenade?
I love oysters. It's traditional for me. Like, I love, like, I'm the girl that orders, like, I need 10 lemons and extra cocktail sauce.
Cracker or no cracker?
No cracker. Those suckers are marinated, and you slurp them down.
Okay. Love it. Take care, Jane.
Bye, boys.
There she goes, Jane Slater with us.
You guys don't like oysters, but you guys eat your boogers.
We don't. I didn't say that I still do. I didn't say I don't, but I didn't say that I do. Yeah.
It was the same guy who was listening to a booger conversation yesterday. He just happened to be walking past.
What
said,
in the world?
Quit talking about that, guys.
Yeah. What weird timing for that guy, the Royals guy.
So take away on the Jane Slater conversation. It's funny she's talking about how NFL teams might have looked at the eccentricities of his personality. And she says, and not that it's a bad thing. I think people might have protected the Earl Thomas personality because he's a UT guy and he's so good. But I've been chatting with people up in Seattle today, and I just heard whispers about it. But the impression that I've got is the being the highest paid player thing drives him bat bleep crazy. And if he is thinking it's going to be the second highest paid safety, this is going to drive him mad. So that's where the idea of just doing 1 year at $15 million might come in. His ego might give you the opportunity to have him for just 1 year. And at that point, if it's 1 year and $15 million,
come on with it.
I mean, how could you say no to that if you're the Cowboys? The long-term risk is just is completely out of it. But yeah, I asked him, you know, what would happen if the market just isn't there? And he says, that's the million-dollar question.
$15 million question, I would think, huh?
Yeah, right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.